We all know cats are intelligent. Felix Cat Insurance was able to secretly record two cats on a hidden microphone. Let's listen in.
Did you hear the one about the three dogs at the park?
That's old, like four lives ago. But did you hear about the new pet insurance just for cats from felixcatinsurance.com?
Of course. What do I look like, a dog?
When you're coughing up a furball. Yes. Listen, Felix Cat Insurance plans start at under $1 per day and are as unique as you and me. They call it whisker-to-tail protection.
Even furballs?
Even that. Remember the last time you had a furball? I made a TikTok. It went viral.
Oh, well, that's good. Wait, you're on social media?
There you have it. Felix Cat Insurance. Customizable coverage exclusively for felines. Sorry, no dogs allowed. FelixCatInsurance.com. Get it? Meow. Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. For all terms and limitations, visit FelixCatInsurance.com/terms.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
Middle show of the work week, dead center of the work week right now. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I don't know why I said 10 days. Sometimes on the hump show when I'm tired, and it generally hits me more on this middle show of the work week for some reason, maybe coming out of the football weekend, which is so chaotic. And I didn't sleep well on Tuesday. I actually had to empty my shed. I'm getting a new shed installed because of dead squirrels. Well, okay, that's part of the reason. My shed is not winterproof. And every year since I bought the house, I open up the door in the spring and there are squirrel nests, but also debris everywhere. I've told this story before, but it just really underscores the point. Last fall, so going back to fall of 22, I bought one of those fertilizer spreaders. So just a handheld that you push around the yard. And I put it back in its box and put it in my shed and, you know, kind of closed the box up for the winter. Not completely, but kind of closed it up. I open up the shed in March for the first time. There's no box. The box is gone. The spreader is sitting there on a small piece of cardboard, but the box is gone. Squirrels and other animals, mostly squirrels, shredded it. The spreader was sitting on a shredded piece of cardboard. And my entire shed is littered with pieces of cardboard. It was just awful. That wasn't the worst part, though. Again, because my shed, it's old. It came with the house. I didn't install it. And so who knows how long it's been there. In May, I opened up the door to the shed. Now, I didn't go in and clean it. I cleaned out the cardboard, but I didn't take out the squirrel nest. I actually didn't see it. It was back in the back behind my tool stand. And so when May rolls around, I opened up the shed to get my lawnmower out and realized there were dead squirrels in the back. It's actually fortunate. Yeah, that was about what I started doing. It was fortunate that I saw them. It just happened to be the angle that the light was shining it back in the back corner on, you know, behind the tool stand. Because it could have been weeks before I saw them because they were back there buried behind tools and then the tool stand. And then I have, you know, different crates and other things that are stacked up in front of it to make sure the tool stand doesn't fall over. And so I guess I was fortunate, quote unquote, to see it and had to haul everything out of the shed on that side so I could clean out dead squirrels. They were in rigor, meaning they were just stretched out straight. Like they were unmalleable. Not that I wanted to touch them or anything, but they were bored straight and just like
uncomfortable.
Yeah, it was awful. I think a couple of their toes came off when it was terrible.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, it was really bad. And so that was one of the most traumatic experiences in my entire life. I'm not kidding. It was, I was almost in tears. Add that to the list of things I never thought I'd do in my life is clean dead squirrels out of a shed. And Bob is on the phone beforehand, like, I'm sorry, babe. I wish I could do it. Like, and I was very kind of him. But finally, I was like, that's not helping. Anyway, so poor guy. I was so traumatized. So all that to say, I'm not going through another winter with a shed that is not squirrel proof and not winter proof because I can't deal. But in order to get the new one, I have to empty the old one. Now, thankfully, I had mostly cleaned it out in May because of the dead squirrels. So it wasn't terrible on Tuesday afternoon, but I had to wake up early. We only have so much daylight now. And to wake up early, and I had to get out there and clean the shed. And because it was stressing me out, I woke up earlier than I needed to. Anyway, it's a welcome to my world. Some of you want to know about a day in the life. It's funny, whenever I teach a class or speak to a college class, usually the professor whose class it is, he will ask me, what's a day like in your world because of your show and your prep and your upside down and all that jazz? And so I talk about this a lot. Unfortunately, this time of the year, if you sleep until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which for me would be roughly 8 hours, it's dark when I wake up. And so I'm walking Penny in the dark and I can't work out, blah, 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 blah. But more to the point, I had to wake up and clean the shed. It was stressing me out because I was worried about what I would find in there. No more dead squirrels. Phew. But everything is now, other than a few big pieces, the shed's not getting removed until Thursday. So my lawnmower is still in the shed. My bike is still in the shed. But otherwise, everything is under a tarp on my patio, which makes me look great. Like, just thankfully, nobody can see the patio because it's behind a fence. But still, I'm not one of those kind of people that loves stuff all over a yard. I try to keep my yard neat and fairly manicured, but that all bets are off. Now, here's the scary part, Jay. A company is coming, or a man is coming with a crew to remove the shed, so they're going to break it up and haul it out. I think it might be on some cinder blocks, but I'm not really sure, but I can see a couple cinder blocks. In order to make room for the new shed or to prepare the ground for the new shed, I have to hire a landscaper to smooth the ground because I have a rake and all, but I just don't think that's going to work. What do you think is under the shed? So nervous about what's under the shed. Now, I don't think there are any dead animals because I don't smell anything, right? So you would eventually smell something if there were dead animals under there. But I know that there are woodchucks under there, or they were. I haven't seen them in months because Penny's been using the backyard. Instead of going for a walk now when we first wake up, I just let her out in the backyard. And I've heard that if a dog pees in a backyard or a cat pees in a backyard, then it scares off wild animals because they're worried about predators like dog and cat, which is kind of funny because the woodchucks are bigger than my cat. But I haven't seen them in months. And so I do think that that's part of the issue, is that Penny's been in the backyard. But I don't know what I'm going to find under there. What if it's just a royal disaster? Well, I mean, at least I'm not removing the shed, but I don't know what he does after he removes the shed, if he takes the cinder blocks or whatever else. Why is this stressing me out so much? What if there's things under there? Not like a dead body, but what if there's, I don't know, what's under a shed?
It could be treasure?
No, I mean like bugs.
Well, you said there's no way of knowing when the shed was built or has been there, right?
The door is falling off and it's very weathered. So I would say it's at least 20 years old. I mean, there are boards that are falling off of it. It's old. So I would say at least 20, if not older.
And do we know if there's grass under there or is it?
I have no idea what's under there. All I know is that it's built up a little bit. There's a little path that leads up to it. So when I put my lawnmower into it, I have to roll it up the ramp. And there are, I can see a few cinder blocks. That's all I know. It could very well just, I have no idea. It could be just dirt. But what if there's bugs?
Well, I think if it is dirt and it is grass, then you would have a really rich ecosystem there under the shed because it has been untouched for so long.
Mm-hmm.
There's been no lawnmowers.
Other
than woodchucks. Ooh, I don't know what they do under there. They might help it.
They dig things. They dig.
Which might make the soil more fertile because they're
good point because they're keeping it tilled.
Exactly. So it's got, I don't know.
Jay's a former landscaper.
I've done some yard work in my day.
No, you told me that you work for, where'd you work at the marina?
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah, true. I did used to get paid to do that. But I don't know if it would need sunlight, though, or the bugs probably wouldn't want the sunlight, right? Like worms. I figure there's going to be a lot of worms,
no!
A lot of roly-polies, a lot
of worms. No worms.
Crickets.
No. Oh, no.
Spiders. We're looking
no,
at.
Stop it. You are freaking me out. Oh, my gosh.
But that is technically a good thing for the lawn. It means it's healthy. It means it's thriving.
Okay.
And I think under there's probably going to be a lot of a lot of animals, a lot of bugs.
Okay.
Unless it's concrete, then it'll probably just be wet.
Okay, I'm staying inside. I'm staying. No, it's not concrete. I know there's dirt under there. I just think there are a few cinder blocks as well because I can see a couple of them in front. But maybe they're just in front because their ground does slant a little bit. So I actually have to bring in a landscaper to level it out for the new shed. The new shed's going to be on a steel base. It is weatherproof. It's wood, but it's treated wood and it's weatherproof. And it's got shingles and all that stuff.
That'd be nice.
And yeah, and so it's, it, but it's on a steel base so that it can sit on gravel, it can sit on dirt, but it's not, no, nothing will be able to climb underneath it. It's going to settle and it's heavy. So it's going to settle on the ground. So that's great news, but it has to be level. So I have to bring in someone to level it.
So we, the squirrels, going back to the squirrels in the shed, they definitely didn't get in from under, or we don't know that.
No, they could have gotten in a variety of ways. They could have gotten in under the eaves because it wasn't weatherproof under the roof. They could have gotten in just by the holes in the back. I mean, there are all kinds of ways they could have gotten in. There were gaps in the wood. So it was just a shed to cover things. It wasn't like climate controlled. I mean, nothing like that. It wasn't made for that. Plants grew into it. So from the back, and before I realized it, there was this ginormous weed. The first year that I had the house in the shed, I opened up the shed and there's a plant growing inside of it. But it literally grew from behind the shed through the holes and was growing inside my shed. No joke, I had to clear a tree out of my shed.
Wow, so I'm definitely thinking that there's grass and dirt under there and bugs.
Okay, but that you're saying that's a good thing.
Yeah, for your lawn.
Because it's healthy soil.
Right, for your lawn and for your soil and for your backyard. Yeah, it is a good thing. It's nasty,
okay.
But it's good.
Okay. Yeah, this is going to be... I'm staying inside where nothing can hurt me.
Yeah, you can let that guy...
I'm going to look out the window.
Wave.
I hope he doesn't ask me for help because, no, I'm paying you to do it. So, yes, phase one, emptied out the shed. Phase two, the shed will be removed on Thursday. Phase three, landscaper comes to smooth the ground and build it up with some dirt. Phase four, new shed is installed. All of this, mind you, before I get married. What in the heck am I doing? Just the dead squirrels threw me for a loop, as you can imagine. No more dead squirrels. It's my only goal in life. No more dead squirrels.
Two in one, especially in one time, isn't
they were a matched pair. They were.
That's just kind of poetic, actually. Maybe
Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
They were Romeo and Juliet.
They
took poison so that they could avoid not living the rest of their eternities out together.
We could think that, and that's kind of.
Oh no, that's definitely what happened. They were a mated pair. I mean, otherwise they wouldn't have been sharing a nest.
True.
Okay, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. That was all very traumatic, and it's going to get worse. So I'm going to have to deliver some stories as we go along. I have to take a picture of what's under the shed. That's the part, is because the landscaper needs to see it. Oh, my gosh. Can I take a picture from, like, up on my roof or, like, my second floor so I'm not anywhere near it?
Yeah, it zooms, right?
I can. It does. It zooms. Got a good camera on my Galaxy phone. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A-Law Radio. I warn you, though, I am weird. We're asking you to vote for TD of the Week. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, which is roughly, we'll call it 30 minutes away. And so you've still got a few minutes to go. Also, send your last-minute guesses for the after-hours Zoom room. You just need to submit a number between 1 and 1,000. I will tell you, in the last hour, we've seen some darn close guesses, some really close guesses. So that's good news. You guys are on it. You're on it. Our phone number, 855-212-4227, though Jay only lets you on the air if you're not an idiot. Just a pretty standard qualification.
It's pretty fair. I don't know.
It's pretty fair. Don't try to hijack the show. Hey, in college football, we're going to talk to Jerry Palm coming up next hour. In college football, we've got a new number one. Now, remember, these rankings are for conversation purposes. These rankings are reset week to week. They do not carry over. The College Football Playoff Committee starts from scratch, theoretically, every single week. And according to Boo Corrigan, who is the chairman of the College Football Playoff Committee, Georgia is now a clear number one.
The win last week over Missouri, and then, you know, the Mississippi game is tied 14-all. They go on a 38-3 run and kind of showed their dominance both on offense and on defense against a really strong Mississippi offense. So, you know, in looking at it, in the resume and everything combined, we thought Georgia was the number one team this week.
Boo Corrigan refers to the two-time defending champion Dawgs. This is Uga's team. And they're coming off victories over not just Ole Miss, but also Missouri. Two teams in the top 13, at least right now. But because Georgia didn't have a bunch of quality wins, that's what kept them in the second spot, as opposed to number one, which is where they are now. And they've got another ranked opponent coming up on the road when they take on Tennessee, the Volunteers in Knoxville. Ohio State drops the number two, so flipping spots with Georgia, pretty standard. You could expect that. Michigan is number three, then Florida State and Washington. Now, all of these teams are 10-0. Okay, so your top five are all still undefeated. But why, Boo? My Boo. Oh, my Boo. Why is Florida State four and Washington State five?
Florida State, really good offensively, has been really good defensively. You know, don't undersell the Miami-Florida State rivalry as well, and that's been going on for years. Miami hit a big play for that touchdown in the second half, but we felt Florida State was the dominant team in there, and Washington continues to win. Really good defensive second half against Utah, but as we looked at it and evaluated it, and, you know, as y'all can appreciate, the debate is getting stronger every week as we get more and more data points going through this, but we ended up with Florida State at four and Washington at five.
Yeah, forgive me. I said Washington State for some reason. It's Washington. It's the Huskies, so I'm sorry about that. So it's Florida State four, Washington five, and then you've got a handful of 9-1 teams. So those are the ones that we'll talk about a little bit with Jerry Palm of CBS when he joins us next hour, because you've got, for instance, Texas, Alabama, Oregon, Louisville. These teams are all 9-1 and are poised just in case something happens. But we've got conference championships still to come. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Just one more, and these are from the interview that Boo Corrigan did on ESPN following the selection reveal. How much does it matter that teams are undefeated? Right? Because think about Alabama. Its loss came to Texas, a team that's right now number seven. So how much does it matter that a team is undefeated, and how much of a consideration is strength of schedule?
As we're building this, right, in week 11, we're going to look at everything that's happened to date, where they're playing, et cetera. But, you know, that winning matters. You know, we talk about it every year as we go into this, that winning games matters. A lot of really good teams. You know, the top eight didn't change as far as the actual teams in there. There was just a little bit of shifting, and the head-to-head does matter.
Boo Corrigan on ESPN answering some of the questions posed to him about the latest round of college football playoff rankings, but these are not the ones that matter. They are supposed to be resetting every week and starting fresh with resumes and looking at them. So we'll talk to Jerry Palm about an hour from now, and we'll get his opinion. And also, Jerry knows the formulas. He actually does the math and does the formulas. And so he can kind of tell us some of the possibilities. So that'll be interesting. Straight ahead, we'll do some QB news. Sean McDermott weighing in on Josh Allen and what he could do differently. And the debate continues in New England. Same division, AFC East. What about Mac Jones? Now, the Patriots are going into a bye, but Tom Brady weighs in on Bill Belichick. And then we've got a scintillating matchup on Thursday night. Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, Joe Burrow, the Bengals, another, I hope it's a doozy that goes down to the wire in the AFC North. It's After Hours with Amy Lauren.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side.
If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Get the best workout with the best-kept secret in fitness. Hydro, the state-of-the-art at-home rower. Hydro engages 86% of your muscles, delivering the ultimate full-body workout in just 20 minutes. From advanced to beginner, Hydro has over 4,000 classes that are shot all over the world and are taught by Olympians and world-class athletes. For a 30-day risk-free trial with free standard shipping, go to Hydro.com and use code FIT500 to save up to $500. That's HYDRO.com, code FIT500.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.
It's on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Murray back to throw, and it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center, steps back, throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw, looking, firing deep for Chase in the end zone.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
Got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City.
Hand off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
It's always time for QB News. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on the Hump Show. Sean McDermott makes a change to the voice that will call the plays for Josh Allen and the Bills. It's no longer Ken Dorsey. He's been fired instead. And actually, just so you remember, he was the quarterback's coach under Brian Daboll when Daboll was the OC. Dorsey was actually a candidate for the Panthers head coaching job and pulled his name out of contention so he could stay with the Buffalo Bills. That Ken Dorsey got fired. Joe Brady, who, of course, worked with Joe Burrow at LSU, he's now the interim offensive coordinator. But what about Josh Allen? Where is he mentally as the turnovers mount and the offense scuffles?
Probably not where we'd like him to be. And that's natural based on some of the results that we've gotten this year, some of the results he's gotten, some of the turnovers in particular. But I'm confident that he'll find it. And I think, again, just some of the new energy around our offense, my hope is and my aim is that it'll create a little bit of confidence, clarity, and ability to anticipate it as opposed to, in some cases, react. And I think that's what a part of playing the quarterback position is all about.
Yeah, I want him to make smarter decisions. He's a veteran quarterback. He's one of the best in the NFL. If he doesn't go all hog wild and turn into a gunslinger, now he can sling it, but you don't have to always be in a rush or always try to make a 50-yard throw with every snap. If he cannot be in a rush and make smart decisions, this offense is still damn good. 19 touchdowns, but 11 interceptions, and that is tops in the NFL. Even more than one Mac Jones, whose Patriots lost in Frankfurt against the Colts. Part of the issue is that their offense is going nowhere fast, and Mac on the final possession for him throws an interception on the goal line and promptly gets benched. So he was a guest on our Boston affiliate, WEEI, like he is every Tuesday morning, and they grilled him on about a lack of confidence and whether or not that's a problem for him.
My confidence comes from my discipline and all the things I've done throughout the years just to, you know, gain that. And of course, at times, as an athlete, that's going to be challenged, but at the end of the day, I need to have confidence in myself. That's like the root of the word, right? It's confidence. It's belief in yourself and others. So that's kind of what I know about confidence, and that comes from putting the work in and being prepared. So I do both of those things, and I need to continue to be confident.
Is he going to start in week 12? That's a game against the Giants. Patriots on a bye week 11.
No, we haven't talked about that. Really, just today we watched the game film and kind of talked about the plans for the bye week. So we have practice tomorrow. So just see how it goes there. And, you know, the bye week's a great time to work on things that you can do better. So that's what I'm going to do.
It's not just Mac Jones who is there on WEEI in Boston, but it's also Bill Belichick under fire. And a lot of people thought he was going to get the boot from Bob Kraft after they lost in Frankfurt against the Colts. Bob even spoke to the team himself before the game to emphasize how important it was for them to get a win. Nothing like that has happened. They're heading into their bye. But Bill Belichick, is the team still confident in him? That's another question. Defensive lineman Dietrich Wise answers the question.
I always told everybody that Bill's a great, great coach. This is a tough season. We have a bad record, but we don't have a bad team.
How about a thought on the quarterback who's really under a lot of fire in Mac?
Yeah, we still believe in him. Like I say, right now there's a lot of tough things going on, but he's doing a fantastic job of handling all the questions that come his way. We as a team support him. We're behind him, and we'll continue to be behind him until the season's done.
I do appreciate teammates speaking out. It's obviously not just Mac Jones. It's the same thing with Zach Wilson. Did you ever think Zach Wilson and Mac Jones would be in the same category? It's the same thing with Zach. Yes, they make awful mistakes at the worst possible times, but it's honestly not just them. There's no way you can ever boil it down to one guy. Now, can one great quarterback elevate a team beyond its talent level? Absolutely. Right now, both these teams are middling, and the quarterbacks are not doing anything to help. And Mac is frustrated. He's frustrated, and he wants to get better. Just don't know if he'll have the opportunity in game 12, or week 12, excuse me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Some QB news here on CBS Sports Radio. What about Tom Brady, former Patriots all-world quarterback, Super Bowl winner with Bill Belichick? What does he have to say about the struggles in New England?
They're in a tough stretch, just not playing with the kind of confidence that you've always seen. You know, obviously Coach Belichick, you know, I don't think he's coaching any different now than the way he coached when we were undefeated. You know, there's a lot of things that need to go right in order to win and succeed. And, you know, I think when you lose, the more I sit back and watch, you know, everyone wants to celebrate when you win as an organization. Everyone's responsible. And the same true, you know, everyone's responsible when you lose too. Everyone can't be on the bus when you win and be off the bus when you lose. And let's point the finger at one person. You know, when you look at losing, it's the whole organization loses. The fan base loses. Everyone's in it together. You know, it's hard to get it right. And when you get it right, you should really appreciate it, especially in the NFL, because you're not in a situation where you're Floyd Mayweather and you're just better than everybody every time you take the fight to the ring. You're not like Tiger Woods that every time you tee it up, you're better than your opponent. Now, the NFL's tough. It's, you know, everything's trying to bring you back to 8-9 or 9-8. You know, and it's hard. And you just got to appreciate it when you win, and you got to try to make the corrections when you lose.
He didn't say, "You're not Tom Brady" every time you step on the field, though, of course, he's listing a couple of others that he considers to be GOATs. That's from his podcast, Let's Go, where obviously Jim Gray's been asking about the situation with his former team. Coming up on Thursday Night Football, Week 11, are you kidding me? Against the Browns, the Ravens scuffled in the late stages. We know that Lamar Jackson threw a pick six. Greg Newsom returned it for a TD, and that was really where the kind of tenor that let fourth quarter turned around. But John Harbaugh's not worried.
I'm Lamar Jackson guy. You know, that's my guy. I believe in him, and I'll take him in every fourth quarter situation from here until I'm done coaching. I'll tell you that. So proud of him, and we'll roll with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, there's some responsibility here for the Ravens defense as well, because they gave up touchdown to Elijah Moore and then turned around and had the pick six by Greg Newsom. So it's just it was a bang bang within a minute there in the fourth quarter where everything changed so drastically, and credit the Browns for what they did. They trailed by 14 with 9 minutes to go. Ravens had this problem last year where they could not protect the lead. So is it going to be an issue now moving forward? Lamar Jackson is really excited, by the way, about the all-black, we'll call them the color block unis, but they're all black. The Ravens will wear them for Thursday Night Football.
Sexy. That's a sexy color. I like the color.
I'm a big fan of Lamar's laugh. He's got a fun giggle, and he really does seem to have joy in life, joy in football. And every now and then you get him giggling. So all black unis. Let's see if that scares the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, this strikes me as I think about Josh Allen and his decision-making and the turnovers. Joe Burrow threw two picks late in the Bengals' loss this past weekend to the Houston Texans. So what about knowing how to take the deep shots and when to take a big risk?
Early in my career, I was, you know, making a lot of those plays, and then, you know, you try to pick your spots to make those. And then, you know, there were spots that I had to on Sunday, and, you know, a lot of times you don't. A lot of times you can just play in the structure of the offense, and, you know, you're moving the ball well, and, you know, taking advantage of what the defense is giving you. And sometimes the defense is playing well, and you have to flip that switch and go into aggressive mode and try to make some plays.
It's case-by-case basis is what Joe Burrow is saying, but veteran quarterbacks can recognize it. They can see it. They can understand the flow of the game. They're in the arena. That's really one of the ways that experience becomes an ally, and there's no shortcut to experience. Although C.J. Stroud, wow, he is head and shoulders above some of the veterans even right now. Joe Burrow and Josh Allen both have it, and they both need to use it. Finally, Dak Prescott, also a veteran. You heard Micah Parsons say that he is an MVP candidate. In fact, he said, Dak is my MVP. That's my quarterback, without the Terrell Owens tears. But now you've got Jerry Jones, owner of the Cowboys, saying the same thing.
He's put games that are together here, a series of games that are the best of his career, and in my view, and at the best of right at the tops of any that I've seen. It's the fact that he's doing them back-to-back, and it's the fact that, really, of course, his play, how he's impacting those games.
Jerry Jones, a weekly guest on our Dallas affiliate, 105.3 The Fan, with Sean and RJ. He also talked about Leighton Vander Esch, who's not a quarterback, and we'll get to that straight ahead. All right, you got a couple of minutes left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. So you can put those on either our show Twitter, look for the bright orange shadow box, also on our Facebook page. You all continue to bombard us with new questions. And Jay's seeking candidates for the next video version of Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle, or holiday Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle. That'll come up in a couple of weeks. So,
ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
No, you don't have to buy custom window treatments in person, because Blinds.com invented a better way. Blinds.com is 100% online, so there's no showroom markups or waiting hours for quotes from pushy salespeople. A Blinds.com designer helped me pick the perfect style for free.
Looking at your room, I think Wovenwood would look amazing.
Oh, and Blinds.com shipped free samples right to my door. You can DIY or book a pro like I did with just one click.
All done.
I got exactly what I wanted. And best of all, everything's covered with the Blinds.com 100% satisfaction guarantee. I would have paid more to make it this easy, but with Blinds.com, I paid less. Way less.
There's a better way. Shop and save 40% site-wide plus doorbuster deals at Blinds.com's Black Friday Early Access Sale happening now. 40% off right now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Maybe you're still new to this whole EV thing, but those range fears? Turns out your all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 5 gets you to work and back all week on a single charge. And now every Ioniq 5 comes with a complimentary EV charger and up to $600 installation credit. When it comes to embracing change, we're thinking of every mile. Hyundai, it's your journey. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. 2023 Ioniq 5 rear-wheel drive has an EPA estimated driving range of up to 303 miles. Actual range will vary with options, driving conditions, and habits, vehicle and batteries condition, and other factors. Available in limited quantities in select states only.
Make sure you get all creative.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Thanks so much for your questions every week for Ask Amy Anything. Some of you are still jumping into Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle, which... we will do one more YouTube video before the blessed event. Let's hope it's a blessed event. It's actually just over a month away. Crazy enough. Yeah, Jay's head just jerked sideways. It is coming up fast now. Like, as in careening down the road on your bicycle, or careening down the hill on your bicycle with no hands on your handlebars type of fast. But I'm excited. So lots of questions there, which we will answer in another video. You can find the first two editions of Ask Amy Walks Down the Aisle on our YouTube channel, which is named after the show. But producer Jay, he's been collecting more of your unique questions, and he's ready, aim, fire.
We're going to start with some Thanksgiving themed here. Ooh. Because we will not be here for Thanksgiving next week, and we got a bunch of Thanksgiving questions, so that's where we're going.
Okay.
Mike, we'll start with this one from Mike. He wants to know, with Thanksgiving on the horizon, what are a few things that you're most thankful for?
Oh, goodness. Well, there's a million things I'm thankful for, but certainly answered prayers. And even before I mentioned the fact that I've waited a long time to get married and God sent me the perfect match, the right partner, I will say I'm so grateful this morning that my friend John Kincaid is cancer-free. He just revealed that yesterday on his show on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philadelphia. He and I have been friends going back to our previous network. He was here on CBS Sports Radio for a couple years. Now he's in Philadelphia, and I can't even tell you how overjoyed I am. I cried watching the video. He cried, of course. So praise the Lord, he is cancer-free, which is amazing. Yes, I'm thankful for Bob. I'm thankful for the fact that we have a wedding before the end of the year. I'm thankful that all the wedding plans are falling into place extremely easily. That sounds maybe... Jay believes in jinxes, and so he thinks I probably shouldn't say that, but it's been smooth sailing for the wedding. There's been no issues. Some of my best friends in the world are coming. Unfortunately, not a lot of family members, extended family, because it's in Texas and it's hard for them to travel. So that makes me really sad, but I'm excited about the friends and the people who are making the effort to be there the weekend before Christmas. Certainly thankful that my dog is still around. She is now 3 days away from being 14. I never thought I would say that about Penny, but she is still doing great. Also really grateful that our show is a companion and one that you still choose. It continues to grow. It continues to thrive. We're really excited about new people that find us every single week. We now have Chicago on a nightly basis. AM 670 The Score, thanks to Mitch Rosen, who's the program director. So much to be thankful for. Health, of course, and just another holiday season coming up that makes me happy.
All amazing things. And, of course, we got to ask this one. Another Mike wants to know, what's your most favorite Thanksgiving food and what's your least favorite Thanksgiving food?
Oh, gosh, this is so hard because Thanksgiving meal overall is my favorite of the entire year. I'm not joking. So I will say that the mashed potatoes with the butter and the gravy boat in the middle. Brown gravy boat in the middle are probably my favorite. But I do love turkey. I love turkey breast with gravy. I am psyched. Although, Bob and I are making a turkey for the first time, so I don't know how that's going to go. Maybe we should have some standby, like a rotisserie chicken on standby. Anyway, so yeah, we're doing Thanksgiving meal. But I'll say the mashed potatoes, the turkey. I love the stuffing. I love pumpkin pie. I'm going to do an apple crisp in the crock pot again. So yeah, it's one of my favorite meals. My least favorite dish, though, I'm not a big fan of the green bean casserole. It's not my favorite with the French onion on top. I'm not a big fan of that. And I don't love cranberry sauce unless it's my brother's homemade sauce, which comes from my maternal grandmother's recipe. Unfortunately, I won't have any this year because I'm not going to see them at Thanksgiving, but that is the only cranberry sauce I will eat.
And David wants to know, do you prefer the white or the dark meat of the turkey?
I'm a white meat girl. White meat girl for everything. Now, the dark meat's delicious, but I do prefer the white meat, the breast, turkey breast.
Just want to add that I saw the coolest stadium giveaway I've ever seen, maybe.
Oh, turkeys?
No, so the night before Thanksgiving, the Detroit Red Wings are giving away a gravy boat in the shape of a Zamboni.
Oh, come on.
And it looks like a Zamboni on the outside.
I need that.
For gravy. It's amazing.
That sounds amazing.
All right, so we'll go here since we just mentioned Chicago. This one comes from Mark. He says, I'm a relatively new fan of the show. I listen out of Chicago and overnights. He used to listen to Les Grofstein, rest in peace, who passed away. Mm-hmm. And he says, you fill a void and I'm a night owl. And he goes, I'm curious, have you always been a night owl?
Always, always. I suck at mornings. And even if mornings is 2 o'clock in the afternoon, which is, you know, it's still a morning for me, I stink at them. I do not wake up quickly, except on Saturdays. Don't ask me why. It's the only morning I wake up. I wake up, I go hard for about 5-6 hours, and then I'm pooped. But I've always been a night owl, which is why I love this time slot. I know it's extreme, but, you know, if given my regular body clock, I would sleep until 10 every day and stay up until 2 a.m. That's what I would do if I could. I can't, obviously, not even on weekends because I've got pets who wake me up before 7. But, yeah, I've always been a night owl. I do my best work at night. I thrive at night. I'm more awake at night, though you wouldn't know sometimes by listening to the show.
Paul wants to know, when you're training for a race, how many miles do you usually run while leading up to the race?
Well, I gradually extend my run. So my base run is about 5.5-6 miles, which I just did earlier this week. It was my first run since the Hurricane Ophelia half marathon. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, I do. My base run is about 5.5-6 miles. And I felt real good this week. It was in the 40s. It was gorgeous weather. And then I build my way up. So I'll do a shorter run during the week when I'm training, like 6 weeks out. And then I'll start with an hour. Then I'll go an hour 15 on the weekends. Then the following Saturday, I'll go 90 minutes. Then I'll go 2 hours. And usually that gets me right to race day. I think the next time I train, I'm going to do a 2-hour and 15-minute run, which is about the 11.5 to 12 miles.
I would collapse.
Yeah, well, that's why you have to build up to it. You can't just start there. And I cross train. I bike. I also lift weights. I do yoga. So I hike. I don't just run.
This one's unique. It comes from Crazy Granny. She wants to know, where do you get your shoes?
Well, that's a great question. I do a couple different places. I get a bunch of shoes at Kohl's, my fancier shoes. And I also get my running sneaks or my walking sneaks. I do ASICS gel. I get them there usually too, or sometimes on Amazon. I do have some like shoes with more comfortable bottoms, I should say. Dr. Scholl's has some really good shoes, actually. They don't just do inserts, they do shoes.
Well, she also
so like sandals.
She adds, do you prefer heels or flats?
Well, I prefer heels, but I also wear flats just because they're more comfortable at work. I don't generally wear heels to work at night because I'm walking the whole time. I am wearing heels with the wedding dress, and I'm excited. They're a really comfy pair that I wore for the Gracies, going back to that LA award show I did in 2000. Gosh, was it 15, 16? I wore them for 8 hours, and my feet never hurt. So those are the wedding shoes.
That's how you know, right?
They are silver and sparkly.
Ooh.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
This comes from Gary, which you teased earlier. He wants to know, how do you drink your coffee?
Thank you for asking. Well, so here's how I drink my coffee. I only drink cold coffee, mostly cold brew now because it's more concentrated. So I combine sometimes two different cold brews. If there's a flavored one, I have a cold brew maker, and right now I have a chocolate peanut butter flavor. Oh, it's so good. It's light. It's not real heavy. Then I add either almond milk or oat milk. about a cup or so. Sometimes, a half a cup, depending upon if it's oat milk, it's a little less. Then I throw in a tablespoon of half and half. I know it's very complicated. Then my new ingredient must have cinnamon. Have you tried cinnamon on top of coffee? It's phenomenal. And I know a lot of the foo-foo, like Starbucks and other coffee cafes, they'll do it. But apparently it increases your metabolism, and I love cinnamon. And so my new ingredient is cinnamon in my coffee. And it is delicious and delightful, and I highly recommend.
Wow, I never even thought to try that.
Me neither. And it's so good. I love cinnamon. I put it in my fruit smoothies. I put it on my oatmeal, but I never thought to do it in coffee. Now I won't drink coffee without it. I've become a cinnamon coffee snob.
I'm going to give it a shot. That sounds good.
Yes. Where is your coffee mug, by the way? I haven't seen it in weeks.
Yeah, I haven't drank much coffee lately.
Did you say drinking?
I did.
But maybe you need some more coffee.
Maybe I do need more coffee. Let's go here. Mike, another Mike, wants to know, what is the worst weather to be caught in the middle of?
I mean, I would say a flood is the worst weather to be caught in. I love snow. I'm a New Hampshire girl. I love winter. So snow does not bother me. If you know how to drive in it, my mom made me learn before I got my license at 16 years old. If you have an all-wheel drive and you know how to drive in snow, it's not that scary. But flooding is tough because the water, when there's no place to go and it just piles up and people get crazy and they try to drive through it. Plus, floodwaters can wipe you away. I mean, they can. Running water is powerful. So I'd rather have snow over a flood or a tropical storm any day.
Last one before rapid fire. This is Mark. I don't know if he's asking or telling. Is The Empire Strikes Back the best chapter of the Star Wars franchise?
You're going to hate me. People are going to hate me. I'm alone on my island. I love Empire Strikes Back, but I am a Return of the Jedi girl. I say that's the best in the entire franchise is Return of the Jedi. Sorry. People hate it. I've got friends who get so mad at me when I say that.
All right, I got to get this one in. Ronald wants to know, have you given Bob's car a Star Wars name yet?
I haven't, but I have suggested some. He at this point will not allow me to name his truck, but I think we need to name it Skywalker.
Ooh,
I think we do need to.
Chewbacca?
No, Chewbacca is my fantasy football name.
Okay. Let's end some rapid fire. Land or air?
Land.
Air or sea?
Sea.
Surfing or snowboarding?
I don't do either, but I do water skiing, which I love.
Charades or Pictionary?
Charades.
Monopoly or Life?
Life.
Ooh. Outer space or underwater?
Oh, gosh. Neither one of those. I guess underwater because I can resurface.
High School Musical or Glee?
Neither. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by FX's A Murder at the End of the World, starring Emma Corrin, Clive Owen, and Britt Marling. Emma plays Darby Hart, a sleuth and tech-savvy hacker. She joins an exclusive group invited to a retreat. When one of the guests is found dead, Darby must prove it was murder before the killer takes another life. FX's A Murder at the End of the World, now streaming only on Hulu.
This holiday season, give concert and comedy tickets to their favorite artists. Choose from thousands of the hottest upcoming shows, plus other great gifts for every fan on your list, like VIP packages, artist merch, gift cards, and more. You can also ask for concert and comedy tickets with a Live Nation wish list. Just sign in, add your favorite shows, and share with friends and family. Get what you really want this year, and gift the unforgettable at LiveNation.com/gifts. That's LiveNation.com/gifts.
Basketball season is finally back, and BetQL is ready to help you win more consistently this year. BetQL is an absolute game changer if you're looking to find trends to help you win. Make smarter bets on spreads, totals, player props, and more. BetQL has already helped over 300,000 people with powerful analytics and community insights. Don't airball your opportunity this basketball season. Visit BetQL.com for their free daily analysis today. That's BetQL.com.